morning, everybody. Our scripture lesson for this morning, it comes from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find there tied a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. And as they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told him what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So this morning we're talking about Palm Sunday, about a parade. And we're all familiar with the Jesus part, right? We're familiar with Jesus coming into town, riding on a donkey, and all the people celebrating and shouting Hosanna. We'll talk about that some more in a minute. But I want to remind you that Jerusalem was kind of the center of everything for the Jewish people, right? It was the center of their political power. It was the center of their religious worship. It had the temple, right? It also had the it was the most important city. Okay? And what's interesting about Jerusalem is that there's a whole bunch of different ways to get in, right? It's basically kind of a square, and you can go in from various different gates, different roads that lead into the city. And what I want you to think about is that as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem with his parade, that on the other end of Jerusalem is a very different parade. There's a parade that comes in that looks very different from Jesus's, and that is the parade of Pontius Pilate, the governor of this area. And you remember that he's there once we get to Good Friday, right? We know that he becomes very important later. But what we have is Jesus is coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and then we have this Roman official who's coming into town from the other direction. And I want to talk about the difference between their two parades. So, and who doesn't love a parade, right? We all love parades. Parades are fun. They're fun because we get to see all kinds of different floats or marching bands or people throwing candy and things like that, right? And they're an opportunity for you to cheer and to have camaraderie with the other people sitting on the side of the road, all that sort of thing. Parades are great. But why do we do them? Right? Parades are one of two things. Either they're celebrating maybe a holiday, like Christmas, something like that. Or they're celebrating an event, okay, such as an inauguration parade, or July 4th, something like that, that can be a little bit of both, right? It's a little bit of that event and a little bit of that holiday. But kind of the big point on all of these parades is there's something at the end that's important, right? What's at the end? What are all of our kids excited about at the end of the Christmas parade? Santa Claus, right? Santa's at the end of the parade. And all the marching bands and all the fun stuff, they are there as the opening act for the big guy who comes at the end, right? And they're waiting and waiting and waiting to see Santa. Nobody leaves the Christmas parade early, right? Now, and so I think about what you have to have for an important parade, right? You have to have a lot of stuff, don't you? You have to have different acts. You have to have, for nowadays, fancy cars and things like that. Politicians show up, right? riding in either a fancy car or something like that, depending on what they're trying to show off, right? How humble they are or how fancy they are, depending on what year. We have different businesses are going to show up and show off their wares, right? You might have the ROTC or some sort of military representation, particularly in like a July 4th parade or an inauguration, something like that, right? You have different things. And all these parades try to outdo one another in the fanciness department, right? Compare, for example, I think there's one here, right? There's a parade that happens here. Compare that to like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, right? They're always trying to outdo the next one, right? The balloons have to be bigger. There have to be more acts and more singers and more this and more that and more sponsors. That was what Pontius Pilate's parade was like. Pontius Pilate's parade was coming into town to show everybody how powerful Rome is, right? He came into town with a chariot. He came into town with soldiers and people with swords and shields and all that. He came in, right? The Romans were famous for having a legion, is what they called their fighting groups, right? And a legion is a whole bunch, right? Like 100 people. And you'd have a legion of people there ready. And they all marched in the parade. Now, what are you supposed to think when you see big guy, fancy chariot, all these soldiers in front of him, all the trumpets and the music and all that? What are you supposed to think of him? Boy, that guy must be really great. He must be very important. And what else are you supposed to think about? Boy, we really better not mess with them, right? That's what one side of town is getting. Meanwhile, on the other side of town, Jesus' parade could not be more different. Jesus comes in not on a chariot, but on a colt, a little creature. And he doesn't have a whole bunch of soldiers. He has what? 12 dudes. Right? And I say dudes because they weren't like super impressive, right? You had a couple of guys that wanted to overthrow the government. You had several fishermen. You had a tax collector. Some other guys, we don't really know what they did, but they followed Jesus around. You had those guys, and then you had random folks in the street that came up and started throwing their clothes on the ground. And you had people ripping leaves off of trees and waving them around and throwing them on the ground and chanting and shouting. And that was one parade. A parade of like 12 people, 13 people. And then you have the big parade on the other side of town. One is supposed to be much more impressive than the other. And yet, one parade is showing you, it's trying to show you how powerful they are. The other parade knows how powerful they are, right? There's an old saying that if you have to tell somebody you're tough, you're not, right? If you have to tell somebody you're rich, you're not. If you have to tell somebody you're powerful, probably not, right? Pilate and Rome are doing all of those things. Look at me. Look how powerful we are. Look how strong we are. Look how you need to pay attention to us and listen to us over everything else. Meanwhile, Jesus, filled with all the power of God, rides into town humble. And depending on which gospel lesson you read, has kids running in front of him shouting the good news, right? No fancy marching bands. Nobody with weapons, nobody causing a scene, and yet the fullness of God riding into town. And so the people of Jerusalem were presented with two choices. They could choose to follow the glitz and the glamour and the worldly power of Pilate and of Rome. And that was very seductive, right? We find ourselves with that same choice often. Do we choose to follow whoever has the most worldly power? Do we choose to follow whoever is strongest, whoever has the most money, whoever has the most X, Y, and Z? Their other choice was to follow this random guy who had been wandering around Israel for for 3 years with 12 dudes and came into town on a donkey. And yet, the right choice is to choose the weak guy, the guy without all the power, without all the glitz, without all the glamour, without all the money and all of that stuff. And the people see Jesus and they, for one day, right? For one day, they celebrate and they shout, Hosanna, which means save us, right? They shout, save us from who? Maybe the Romans. Probably the Romans. They want freedom, right? Everybody wants freedom. They want their own self-determination. They want to not have to worry about those soldiers that are in front of Pontius Pilate. So they shout, save us. And they wave around symbols of a previous revolution, right? Those palms that we talk about on Palm Sunday, those were symbols of the Maccabean Revolution, which was a previous group that had overthrown Jewish oppressors and had briefly taken back Jerusalem and the people of Israel and become their own nation again for a while until the Romans took back over. And yet... They're chanting for Jesus to save them. But they don't fully understand, right? We sometimes give them a hard time because we say they're chanting, save us, save us. And of course Jesus is coming to save them. But he's coming to save them for all time. Not just here on this earth, not just here in that one country, not just them, but all of us, right? But they don't know that. They're in the moment. And so they're reaching out for whatever they can find, and they reach out to Jesus. And we can join in that excitement, right? We, the people of Israel, like to think about what were they doing, the people in Jerusalem, how did they feel before Jesus got there? And I feel like they felt overwhelmed. I feel like they felt oppressed, and they felt like they couldn't choose what they wanted to do. They felt like they didn't have any say over their lives. They felt like things were never changing. Does that sound like anybody you know? Right? We feel that way all the time, don't we? Whether it's current situations, whether it's health issues, whether it's family problems, whatever it is, right? We find ourselves feeling just like the people in Jerusalem. So let's learn from them. Let's call out to Jesus to save us, to heal us, to give us that freedom from whatever it is that's oppressing us. But let's also remember that we sit at the happy day of Palm Sunday, and we sit 4 days, 5 days away from Good Friday, in which that big, powerful, money-filled might of Pontius Pilate seems to win, right? The calm parade of Jesus, even one of those people leaves him and goes over to the other side and sells him out for silver, right? And we do the same thing. We scatter. Just like the disciples, we run in fear. But we get to celebrate in just 7 days. Because the message of this whole week is, yes, the power of this world does win sometimes. Yes, sometimes humility leads us to loss. Sometimes coming in on the donkey means that the person with the chariot runs over top of you. But this world, this life, this following of Jesus is not just about how many followers you have. It's not just about how much money you accumulate. It's not if you get to be the king or the president or whatever, right? Being a follower of Christ is about following him. And that parade continues on past the temple and on to Gethsemane. And it continues from Gethsemane to Caiaphas' house. And it continues from Caiaphas' house to Golgotha. And it continues from Golgotha to the grave. And then on Easter, out of the grave. We have to continue to follow the parade. It may seem like our marching band is going nowhere. It may seem like all that power and all that strength of the world is what's going to win. But that's not how it works. Nobody remembers anything about that other parade. But we commemorate Jesus's every year. Why? Because we want to be like him. We want to be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. It is possible for us to go from this place today and have little Palm Sunday parades wherever we go. Whether it's to the restaurant or to home or to your workplace, that when you come into that place, you are bearing Christ. That when you come into that place filled with joy and love and peace, that you are bringing Christ with you. Now, we don't bring Christ by carrying a sword and chopping anybody we disagree with. We do bring Christ by coming in humble and kind and loving. And yes, it may lead us to pain. It may lead us to difficulty. It certainly did for Jesus. But in the end, it leads us to victory. So today we get to choose. Do we follow the worldly parade of Pontius Pilate, or do we follow the calm, kind, gentle parade of Jesus? I pray that you will come and join me this week as we walk to the cross and as we follow Jesus out of the tomb on Easter Sunday. Choosing to follow the hard path, but the path that leads to glory and the path that leads to life eternal. Amen.
Amen. Amen.